Greetings, magnificent souls, to the Lily Beulie podcast, where we have open and honest discussions about ourselves. This is your host, Lily Beulie, and I'm honored to have conversations here with thought leaders, visionaries, healers, and even solo conversations with myself about things I am currently reflecting on. This is a place where we break down, break away, and break through our emotional trauma, allowing ourselves to be healthy, be happy, and live a peaceful life. We are tired of being sick and tired. We are tired, but we are not giving up. We know that there is something magnificent inside of us. And because we are fighting daily, hourly, and by the minute, fighting ourselves, our jobs, our unhappiness, we have to do things differently. We have to break the cycle. We don't have a million chances. We have to be happy now. We have to find a way. So how do we do that? How is that possible? If you look around at what society is telling you, they tell you that what we're doing is impossible. Yet it's happening every single day. And it's happening through the practice and the love that we call awakening the magnificent soul. We are all magnificent souls, and these are our stories of healing. Today in episode 129, a solo episode today, all about what we have learned about love is all wrong. And I'll go into a lot of that today. So I am riffing today, so it should be fun, as I riff most of the time when I do these solo episodes. A few things before we get started. If you are enjoying the show, please like, please share, please review. This helps get the word out to more and more people who are looking for enlightenment, to heal, more love, more connection, more growth. So thank you in advance for that. Today, everything that we've learned about love is wrong. Of course, this, you know, pretty blanket statement. So, but I do want to dive into why I wanted to talk about this. We know at this point, like if you're here with me in this container, if you are a listener, first time, loyal since 2018, we know that there are other outside influences, right, in our life. We are born perfectly made. We are born with a clean slate. We are born with, most of us, the opportunity, I think, to be our full expression of ourselves. But then, like, the second we are born, there are things, you know, that come up in our life, emotional trauma, religious trauma, racial trauma, things that start to just pile on through us or on us throughout our lives that determine our nervous system reactions, our beliefs, how we operate, our behaviors, our thoughts. And we know this, right? So we were born in this way where we had all of this opportunity, but then we start to kind of pile on these different reactions and actions throughout our life that determine, you know, we're going to talk about love today. So that determine our love life and determine how we love and who we love. And I think the reason that I wanted to talk about this is because in the last 4 months, from a personal perspective, I've gone through this beautiful process of calling in an epic magnetic love. And it's been this beautiful recognition of the core of who I am. And if you've been here for a minute, you know that I've identified with in the past things that were important maybe on the outside, how I look, how I, like, if I make people laugh, which I'm sometimes really good at, you know, my job title, my bank account, the affirmations that I would receive from others, the validation that I would receive from others. And this was the first time, I think, outside of this really foundational set of women friends that I've established over the last year and a half, this is the first time that a man saw me for who I was at my core. And I talk about this story in when I'm a guest on podcasts, but I don't think that I've talked about it here. Maybe I'm not sure, but I'll share it again because it is so powerful and it's something that's going to stay with me for the rest of my life. So this man and I, we were dating at the time, and I teach about the magnetic woman. The magnetic woman is the woman that I aspire to be throughout my life, 80% of the time, you know, giving myself a little leeway, love and compassion. The magnetic woman for me is this, like, it's like that force, like that woman that walks in the room and kind of sucks air out of the room. And it's not because she's beautiful per se, but it's the energy that with which that she presents herself. You know, I think of this like beautiful archetypal woman with her shoulders back, her neck is straight, her arms are by her side. And there's this palpable energy that she projects of discernment, but also love, of clarity, but also like a deep sense of purpose and connection to people and the world. It's like something that you can see in her eyes. You can see the way that she interacts with people, that she deeply loves them, but she deeply loves herself more. And that is the energy that I really, really have worked really, really hard to cultivate. And that's what I work on with my clients in my coaching containers. So the magnetic woman has been a theme for me for, you know, quite a while now, as I've gone through my process and then helped, you know, women go through over hundreds of coaching hours through their process too. And so he doesn't know about the magnetic woman, y'all. He does not know about this person, this archetype. You know, take the archetype quiz if you don't know, if you'd like to know more about this and what archetype you're in right now. But he doesn't know about the magnetic woman. And so we're here in Trader Joe's and we're like doing our thing. I'm shopping around. And throughout that time together, there were like four or five people that come up to me in 15 minutes, you know, like just attracted to me, I guess my energy, but the way, you know, the way I present myself, the way I look, you know, like, oh, I'm, you know, I love your dress. I love your hair. I love your nails. And while, you know, on the outside, it could be portrayed as, oh, they're, you know, really just admiring an outside trait of you. I think, you know, the energy that I portray is that I'm open enough to love. I'm open to connection. And during that time, four or five different people came up to me and, like, you know, commented on different things. And he was just sitting there, you know, observing this. And he comes up behind me after, you know, we were walking out, and he leans down and he whispers in my ear, "You are a magnet. You are a magnet." And I can tell you that I'm probably going to get teary-eyed talking about this. I can tell you that based off my past, which is really, especially with men, even in my family, men I've dated, men have always really been unsafe for me because either they've been abusive or they've used me as a tool for their own fulfillment. And so I had protective patterns in the past of being funny or being sexy or, you know, not really showing who I was because it didn't feel safe in the past. But when he said that, he saw me like, I'm not going to apologize, but he saw me for who I was at my core, right? He saw me for my love, my caring, my connectedness, my kindness, and did not want anything from me. And that was one of the best moments of love and connection I've ever had from a man in my life. And the reason I think that I'm drawn to share this today is that what I've learned through this process with him is that what I've been taught about love is a one-time thing. It's almost like love is a transaction when really it's not. Love is a process. And since then, we have gone through the process of ups and downs and all arounds of triggers and trauma and healing and breaks and all of the things. And if I'm real, I don't know what is going to happen with this man. But what I can say is I've learned that we've been taught through our parents, through movies, through society, that love is in longevity. Love is like, how long is this last? Does this last? If you can stay strong and stay firm and stay loyal, then that's love. And while in some cases I do think that's true, we just have to be really, really careful and really, really aware about why. Why? Right? Because if you go back, like, listen to the thousands of other episodes and hours that we have here in this space. Like, I remember I had one podcast about loyalty that did really well. Maybe I'll find it and link it in the show notes. But loyalty is not necessarily love. And I remember, you know, my parents at this point are in their 70s. And I've talked to my mom about this before. And she is so adamant about, your dad and I are not, we don't believe in divorce. We don't believe in divorce. And where did that come from? And I granted, it is a different time. I understand. There's, you know, so much more information out there these days. People are awakening and enlightening and all of that, those things. But as a, like, as an aside, like, where did we learn that longevity equals love? I can tell you that what this experience has taught me about what I know about love is that love can be when you look someone, like, say you're going through the grocery store checkout line and you look at that person, the person that's checking you out in the line, and say, hey, how are you today? Or they ask you how you're doing and you look them in the eye and say, I'm doing okay. How are you doing? That is love. Love can be in an instant. Love with this man in particular has been a process of repair and rupture, of coming and going, of hard times and growth. And again, what I have been checking within myself is this idea that love is a number, that love is, oh, how many months have we been together? Because what I'm realizing is that it pulls me out of this juicy connectedness, this juicy present moment. It takes me in the, to the past of, what did I do wrong? Or what can I do? Or to the future, what can I do to make this love last? So if we can start to reframe what it means to us about love, you know, if you have, like, I have a dog, right? Her name's Ellie. She's amazing. But my love with her is, of course, you know, it's every day, but my love is also when I, like, look her in the eyes and I tell her, you are safe. You are safe. And that is love in an instant. And what I'll share too, I guess, you know, like I said, I didn't really write anything out, which I normally don't for these solo episodes. So I'm just kind of like channeling what comes to me. I can tell, like, think about what love means to you. And even the way I can tell you, like, this experience with him has changed even the way that I think about epic love. Because I think for me, epic love is really in this magnetism. It's really in this way that you are in the world where love can be, you know, walking past someone on a hiking trail and saying good morning. And that's it. And they go away. And we have to really, really be careful about what our expectations are when we're talking about romantic relationships or even friendships. I've shed a lot of friends through my growth process and really honed in on Do I feel loved by this person? Do I feel loved in this instant? Is this someone that I want to, stick by me? There's just so much there. But I also wanted to share, I think this is funny too, because I share this when I'm on a guest on podcast, and I don't think I've shared this here in this space. So what I've recognized is that I've learned about love from basically three different movies in my childhood. Mind you, this is, I lived in a home where there were not many emotional conversations happening, like not many, as in like maybe in my lifetime, maybe two that I remember, all which I facilitated and mediated, by the way, which is another thing, but we won't get into that here yet. But three movies I realized that I learned about love and relationship from. And one of them, I don't know if you remember the movie Basic Instinct with Sharon Stone. That's where I learned that idea of being like a sexy, dangerous woman is powerful. And not to say that it's not, but I think that we, it's kind of shadow feminine things going on, right? If you use it to manipulate, which I have, maybe I'll repost the post that I posted about sleeping with two men in one day. I'll do that today, actually. So check my feed. But, that was the movie that I learned about, like, oh, okay, she's pretty dangerous, but she's also, there's a power to that. And so I can say, like, in my 30s, I definitely channel my Sharon Stone, right? So what is love? What is love? The other movie that I remember that shaped my view of love is Pretty Woman, right? Pretty Woman. She's out there selling her body, which I've also sold my body, and I guess literally and figuratively, if you want to be real here in this space. So she's out there, sacrificing her safety, her body, herself. And then a man comes along, a rich man comes along and saves her, right? Saves her. And who knows, I don't know. What is love? Is love being saved? Think about it. And then lastly, of course, The Little Mermaid, which is, I learned, sacrifice. Sacrifice your voice, your one distinctive feature about you, the way that you express who you are, your needs, your wants, your desires, your boundaries. Sacrifice your voice for love. And then everything will be fine. So I think there are other things that I wanted to cover that were bubbling in my mind, but they're not here now. So I'm just going to let it go. And I hope that you enjoyed this little talk with me today. And, think about it. What kind of expectations were you modeled in either your life, or what did you learn from outside influences about love? Are you sticking with someone because you love them, but you're also sacrificing yourself? Are you dating and, there's a deep, deep part of you? And this was me. This is why I'm asking this question. If you're dating and there's a deep, deep part of you that, really believes in this one and done type of thing, is it transactional? If he comes into your life, does that mean that you are set? Does that mean that it has to last a certain amount of time, a certain amount of years for it to be successful? What kind of shame would you carry about that? What kind of guilt? What kind of sacrifices have you been making because you have this belief, or you've been taught this belief? So let's question that. Let's evolve. All right, y'all. I love you. Thank you for being here. Please know that you are perfectly made. You're not doing anything wrong. You are amazing. You are loved and you are supported. And let's see, a few things before we close up today. The feminine dating archetype quiz. If you haven't done that yet, even if you're in relationship, it could serve you in revealing some of your blocks to love, to sacrifice, and see what your next step would be. So don't forget to take the quiz in the show notes. And then also, please support the show. If you feel called to support the show, if you've enjoyed hanging out with me with amazing guests or with just me here, just, you know, talking into a microphone, you can support the show by, I think it's donating $1, $5, or $10 a month. And it really would help me just, you know, to know that you're out there, first of all, and you're supporting me, to send me some good juju, some good energy, or just buy me a coffee. I love my coffee after my hikes. It's a nice treat for me. So do that by going to the link in the show notes and clicking on support. And I welcome that. And I thank you in advance for doing so. Again, you are loved. And we'll see you not next Wednesday, but the Wednesday after. Bye.